We continue with the tafsir of Surah An-Najm, the 53rd Surah of the Noble Quran. Now, in this Surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about wahi and the revelation that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's also mention of the idols that were prevalent during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Lat, Manat and Uzza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put things into perspective by saying that these are idols, all these idols were simply things, names that you had given to them. There is no basis to them, there's nothing more to it. In here, illa asma'un sammaytumuha antum wa abaukum. That you and your forefathers had given these names to the idols, and that is it. And you can't just do as you please, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Him belongs what is in the Akhirah and what will come at a later stage. Everything is at the disposal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to mention with regards to the heavens and the earth and what is contained in the heavens and the earth. وَكَمْ مِمْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. There are many angels in the heavens whose intercession is of no use whatsoever, except after Allah permits, for Him He wills, and with whom He is pleased. So there is no intercession of any idol. Even the close angels in the heavens cannot avail any person to any extent whatsoever. Only if Allah commands someone to intercede and is pleased with him, such an intercession will be of avail. And Allah would never allow for the idols to intercede. Yes, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would intercede on the day of Qiyamah, and that would be with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ لَيُسَمُّونَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَسْمِيَةَ الْأُنْثَى. Those who do not believe in the after call the angels by the names of females. وَمَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ. They have no knowledge whatsoever thereof. إِنْ يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. They merely follow conjecture. وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. And conjecture is of no use against the truth. Those who are not convinced of the hereafter are the ones who are heedless of punishment thereof, and they make these audacious claims. They consider the angels to be the females. They thus label them as the daughters of Allah. This is nothing but their ignorance. Is there any relevance whether the angels are male or female? And why should Allah have offspring? If these people want to really remain steadfast in the truth and the facts, then can they acquire this by conjecture and continue to follow all these false things? Never. فَأَعْرِضَ عَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that give no heed to them, those who turn away from our remembrance and seek nothing but the worldly life. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. This is the sum of their total knowledge. That if someone's entire life resolves solely around the few days of your worldly life, causing him to be so engrossed in that, and that person, the akhirat never crosses his or her mind, then it is futile even pursuing such a person. He turns his face away from Allah, then what can you expect from a person like that? And in these days we also have, you know, the people wanting to criticize, to find faults in the Quran, to have debates in that regard. All of that is futile. Inna rabbaka wa a'lamu man dhalla an sabili. Surely your sustainer knows best he who deviated from his path. Allah knows exactly who are the ones who have gone astray, wa huwa a'lamu man ihtada, and who are the ones who came onto the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows since eternity all those who remained and will remain in deviation, and those who came onto the straight path, all the hidden agendas, all the hidden capacities and abilities, all of that is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing can change that. That is part of the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah treats one according to the intentions and the innate qualities that a person possess. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. For Allah belongs what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَّاءُ بِمَعْمِلُهُ وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَةِ. Allah will requite the evildoers for what they did. They will get the punishment of their evil. And the good doers will attain a good reward. Allah knows the condition of every single person. And has control over every single thing in the heavens and the earth. So what can prevent Allah from giving the reward to those who do good and to punish those who do evil? There's nothing to prevent Allah, and that is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will come to be. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمَ. Who are the servants of Allah? They are those who abstain from major sins and immoralities except for some minor faults. So what is this referred to, إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ, minor faults? According to the ulama, it refers to the thoughts of sinning that comes to a person's mind, but one does not put it into action. At time a person has a thought to do sin, is that a sin itself? No, it is not considered to be a sin according to the ulama. Some say no, these refer to the major sins. So Allah will, these chosen servants are those who perhaps at times do end up committing minor sins, but they deliberately stay away from the major sins. إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. Other of the ulama say that when we talk of إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ, except some minor faults, it refers to those who do not persist in sin. Those who have not made it a habit of sinning. In fact, what they do is that when they perchance do end up sinning, then immediately after that, they follow that up with tawbah. With tawbah and nasuha, sincere tawbah, which is rendered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. And if you make tawbah, Allah is fully aware, Allah has there is vastness to the forgiveness of your sustainer. That He overlooks many sins and accepts the repentance of those who turn to Him. That if He had to take us to task for every sin, then we would surely be destroyed. But He doesn't do that. He overlooks much of our sins. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ وَأَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah is fully aware of you. When He created you from the earth, when you were infants in the wombs of your mothers, Allah already knew you at that time. That Allah knows what is in the wombs of the mothers. In the one sense, we talk about the male and female, but that's not what is being referred to only in this verse. It also talks about whether a person is sa'idun aw shaqiyun, whether the person will be fortunate or wretched, whether the person will have iman or not, how much sustenance a person will attain. All of that has been ordained. And therefore Allah knew us before we knew ourselves. From the phases of our existence that we cannot remember anything, while we were in the wombs of our mothers, Allah already knew us at that time. And therefore, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ بَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not boast about your purity. Allah is fully aware of those who have guarded themselves. If Allah has inspired you to do some act of piety, do not become proud. Do not become boastful. Do not become haughty. Do not consider yourself as a very pious person. Allah knows well who are the pious one, who are the righteous one. We should not forget our origins. We shouldn't forget that we came from dust. We come from clay. We've been nurtured with impure blood in the womb of our mother. That we have numerous physical and spiritual defects and ailments. And therefore we can never think of ourselves as someone very pious, someone as very good, someone very holy. We tend to talk about, people talk about, when I woke up for tahajjud this morning, all praise to Allah. The person says that I've been performing tahajjud for so many years, and we talk about our own good deeds. We quickly criticize others as though we have no faults within ourselves. We should never think of ourselves as pure. We should never think of ourselves as faultless. We should always, and the one who looks at his own faults won't have any time to look at the faults of others. So to at any time think of yourself as someone pious, someone great, someone having capacity and capability, someone who has achieved a lot, that goes against the grain of this verse of the noble Quran. We should never do that. Always look at your own origins. Look at the fact that you've passed through the passage of urine twice, through the passage of urine of your mother, as well as before that, the passage of urine of your father. So what pride can a person have if that is your origins? That you were created from sand, and that you will return to the grave, and that the worms and the insects of the earth will devour your body, and that when you entered into the grave, that your body will burst open, and the worms will have a feast. That is where you started off, and that is where you will end. What is it to be proud of when you are at any moment carrying so much excreta and feces within you at any moment that you exist in this world? So as human beings, we should humble ourselves and think of our origins at all times. Also remember where we started off and where we will end. Part of the most beautiful human qualities is to have humility. And no person attains humility except that Allah will elevate that person. And whoever wants to elevate himself, and whoever seeks to be haughty, then that person will naturally be disgraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.